Psalm 31 and verse 15. My times are in thine hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Today we see that one of the major problems in our society and with living today is stress. Our budget, our medical budget, spends millions on medicines and pills and tablets to treat it. We give hours, perhaps multiplying that up into weeks, even years, hours to counseling sessions and to therapy. The pace and the pressures in society just pile in and pile up on lives that are often frail and limited, and there comes a time when we crack and we crash. Stress is just too much. Stress can reduce our life to a shell and a routine. Stress can rob us of the enjoyment of life. Stress can make us think that we're beyond the reach of anyone to help us. Stress. Just look at the picture that David paints for us here. Put side by side with what we've got here, our reading in 1 Samuel 23. And if you want to read all that he says in Samuel and in Psalm 31, then you can see the way in which David there was also exposed to what we call today stress. The picture he paints of himself is sad one, full of grief, sighing. Life seems to be all dried up for him. He's running from wood to cave. He's constantly running from his enemies. He's been persecuted here and there. And right at the very end of 1 Samuel 23, he's gone one side of the mountain and the enemy's on the other side of the mountain, and it seems as if they're coming to a final clash, confrontation. Can you imagine what it's like to live day after day, because that's when Saul was chasing him? To live like that, underneath that pressure, always. What a miserable life it would have been. What perplexity there would have been constantly with him. What then does he do? What is the counsel? No, what is the scriptural, the spiritual? What is God's counsel for us in our modern equivalent of David's life and its pressures? He puts his refuge, his hope, and his trust in his God and in his Lord. Out of this darkness that seems to be surrounding and enveloping David's life at this time, out of this darkness there comes this lovely ray of light to encourage us. Verse 14, but I trusted in thee, O God. I said, thou art my God. No one else can protect him. No one else can preserve him. In our spiritual battle and with the added stress of spiritual Christian living, there are many people out there quite prepared to take shots at the Christian. We have a level of pressure that other people don't know anything about. And what protection can we have we got in place? If we try something less than David is giving to us here, then we will fall and stumble. The only surefire defense we've got, the only thing that will be copper-bottomed and stand the tests of life and the squalls of sailing through this world, the only thing that David gives to us that has God's blessing upon it, is what he gives to himself. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. He puts the Lord first. He says, thou art my God. He's not ashamed of that. And he is telling us that we will not be ashamed either. To put the Lord first is to the eyes and judgment of many round about us today the sign of suicide, mental suicide. It's to deny ourselves the enjoyment of life. It raises a wry smile from many people. And yet here David is telling us, no, that's not the path of foolishness. But to trust in the Lord in a difficult circumstance is the height of wisdom, of which we will not be ashamed. The relationship then, first of all, he comes away with. He tells us that, Thou art my God. But not only that, he goes on and he tells us in verse five, into thine hand I commit my spirit. Familiar words that the Lord himself quotes in his life on the cross. Not only is there that relationship, but there is also that commitment. Lord, I have taken my whole life, part and parcel. I've taken everything that belongs to me and I've committed it to you. My life is totally, utterly at your feet, at your discretion, at your instruction, at your command. Lord, I've handed everything over to you and now I'm in this position. Now I'm under this pressure. And Lord, I'm looking to you on the basis of this commitment. I'm looking to you, Lord, to care for me and to keep me safe. Circumstances in life can puzzle us. We can be taken into circumstances, maybe not like David and Samuel, where he was being chased by the enemy, but other circumstances that might cause us to be amazed and perplexed. We can't make sense of them. Why has the Lord brought me here into this? Why is my life like this? It makes no sense to me. And what we've got to do is do the same as David. Not only see the relationship that the Lord has, but the commitment that we've made. And to trust Him. Can I use a simple illustration from family life? A child, a young child growing up. He may not be able to understand everything that his parents might show him, teach him and tell him. But he trusts and he relies upon what he's told. That kind of trust is what we've to exhibit towards our Heavenly Father. Because there is no greater place of safety. There is no better source of peace. There is no more fail-safe protection than that which comes from the path, principle, and prescription that David gives us here. In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. I have committed my spirit to Thee. That's the basis, the foundation of what he is saying. So now let's look at the consequences of that. In our verse here, verse 15. Lord, I've done this. This is what I can say of you. Therefore, how does that work out? How does that pan out in life? Here I am in a particularly tight corner. My times are in thine hands. He's committed himself to his God. Let's take this simple phrase and let's see its application to different things in our own lives today. The consequences of commitment and following the Lord. In verse 18, David is representing for us something perhaps of the conversation that took place in society and the way people were speaking. There were grievous things proudly and contemptuously spoken against the righteous and against God. But here is David putting down another marker. That might be the conversation in society, but Lord, this is the marker that I've got in my life. My times are in thine hands. He is, we might say, correcting the pressures in society. He's putting down a biblical marker about God. A marker that we need ourselves today, because in our society today, there is a pressure to push God further and further out of our thinking, out of our living. We try to bring in our own explanation of the way things work. We try to explain away all the circumstances that happen and the events that occur. We extend so much effort and energy in trying to make sense of life in a whole package. And we don't want to have to invoke God as something or someone in that picture. That's the purpose that society is engaged in round about us today. Man is a master of his own destiny. And it is only with the greatest reluctance, perhaps even with deliberate defiance, he will not accept or acknowledge God in his thinking or in his existence. Purging out every testimony to God. And we are living underneath that pressure. Stress, there's an element of it. And yet Paul tells us in Romans 12 and 1, don't be molded by the pressure of modern society. Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. When you think of plastic molding and the way in which the plastic melted is squirted in, solidifies and takes the shape, don't let that be what happens to your life. And here is David putting down a marker to resist that kind of pressure. And he says, my times are in thine hands. They are in the hands of God. Not against, or at least at the whim of society today. There is constantly put before David's mind and before ours this reality. The reality of the nearness of God. Dealings with Him. Nothing is left to pure chance, blind fate. All of our days have been ordained by God. He's involved in them. He's planned them and He brings them to effect. God is not at a distance. God is not at a distance removed from His people. But He's involved with all of our days. And so there's this contrast between the Christian and society today, where society wants to expel God. The Christian wants to exalt the Lord. The correct pressure. My times are in thine hands. And he keeps reminding himself of it. And because our times are in God's hands, God does not stand by when sorrow, when anxiety, when troubles come to knock at the door of our life and visit us. My concerns are His concerns. He takes my matters into His hands. His power and His strength are deployed for the good of everyone who trusts in His Son. So therefore we have this corrective, this benchmark, this marker that the psalmist puts down for us against the pressures of society and the stress that they produce. And he constantly talks to his soul, my times are in thine hands. But not only do we see this simple phrase as a marker and pressure of society, but it's also a very good strong bulwark in time of temptation. Temptation can be very subtle. It can take so many different forms. When, for example, we try to live for the Lord, try to honor our God. And again, the moment we stand up and speak out for the Lord, we immediately attract the attention of the opposition and the enemy. They will laugh, they will sneer, they will either treat us with indifference, hoping to ignore us and we'll go away, or they oppose us and persecute us, hoping that we'll cave in and collapse. Whatever be the temptation, whatever be the pressure, the temptation is to concede. Well, for a quieter life, so that we're not chased by Saul, so we don't have to live in caves and in woods, so we don't have to be always on the move, living in the wilderness, from tent to tent, from day to day. David, go on. Concede. Back off. The temptation was there all the time. And the only way he can defend himself, the only way in which he can overcome that temptation, he gives here. My times are in thine hands. Lord, you know me. You know where I am. I cannot do this in the face of what you've done for me. The same thing applies when we're tempted with particular sins. Nobody knows it. There we are alone and we're tempted towards sin. It might be a physical act, it might be a mental image, it might be any direction in our lives, but nobody knows it except the Lord. And this is the way in which we've got a bulwark again. My times are in thine hands. When we're tempted to think that we're lonely, when we're alone, when we think that nobody cares for us, or we past thinking of by anyone else, well, that's what David could well have been conscious of as he ran across the wilderness with a crowd of men with him, trying to protect them and care for them. Who cares for me? I'm a lonely nobody. I'm a past item in society. Saul is the king now. Temptations. Oh yes, when we're lonely, trying to stand for the Lord, the protection, my times are in his hand. Particularly, remember what Isaiah 49 tells us. Again, verses 14 through to 16 deals with that very problem of loneliness. There, the circumstances that, oh, God has forgotten me. God has passed me by. I'm a nobody. I'm a past event. And there God says, I have graven you on the palm of my hands. My times are in thine hands. When we're going through a stormy passage of life, by a course that we don't know, to a position we're not sure of, we're going through life and we're facing surprising opposition and turn of events round the corner of every day. The temptation is to try to find a quiet spell and passage of water. The temptation is, in the midst of the storms of life, that unbelief comes to dwell with us. And we're apt to think and to ask and to dispute with the Lord about his dealings with us. Lord, why am I in this kind of stormy place? Why am I in this kind of battle and conflict? Lord, look at others with a soft option. Why not me? To counteract all of these temptations and many others, the same prescription stands true. My times are in thine hand. But again, we can take this surely to apply to something so simple and obvious in that experience of David from Samuel. Think of what the fear of man might produce. After all, we're all at risk in this world. People will make their own opinion about us. And so often we think that our reputation Our honor is at risk in the hands of people. And we sometimes think, well, we better cultivate them. We better look after our interests and our reputation, and we better make sure that we don't offend this one, that one, or the other one. The fear of man with us today, the fear of man with David as Saul was chasing him. But again, the fear of man can be laid to rest by simply taking what David gives to us here. My times are in thine hand. Man might bluster, and man and the fear of man and the cultivation of the favor of men might be something that's attractive from time to time to us, but it's a very puny thing. It's disposable and it passes by. When we face greater and harder tasks like death and the confrontation with God, where will the fear of man that we've given so much house room, where will that stand us then? No. We need to always tell our soul, my times are in thine hand. He watches over me. He is my champion. He will remove the fear that cramps my living and the way that I speak. He is the one that gives confidence. He's the one that gives serenity. He is the one that enables me to see people in true perspective. Not to be intimidated, bowed or cowed by people round about us. These three men in the book of Daniel refused to be intimidated by the need to bow when the horn and such like were blown before the statue that the king had erected. And they were the only three left standing. But stand they did, and the fear of man didn't intimidate them or faze them. Bold in spirit. And they were put into the lion's den, but they were kept. In the fiery furnace, rather, but they were kept. Kept safe, kept secure. The fear of man can make us cringe. We can always be bowed before the flattering words of the strong. We can always shuffle our feet through life. And how do we stand against these pressures of society today? My times are in thine hand. Jeremiah. Let me just quote two examples to put flesh and blood upon some of the things we're saying. Jeremiah was called by God, and he gives the insight, wearing his heart on his sleeve in the first chapter of his book. And he says this. We can just simply read it, and as we read it, we can interpret it and understand it in the light of what we've been saying. The Lord called him. The Lord indicated, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Well, there's the track record. There's God's interest and commitment. And then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said to me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whithersoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. And then listen to this. Be not afraid of their faces. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. My times are in thine hand. Never was that truer to a man than to Jeremiah. Same is true of Gideon, a man who was sometimes intimidated and bowed because of the Midianites coming to raid their harvest year after year. 7 years, everything was taken. They used to run into the hill to try to hide and save the little they could. Gideon was the man that was chosen and selected by God to fight against them. And Gideon was fearful, as you might expect him to be, and in considerable dread of the force of the Midianites. But go to Judges chapter 6 and especially 16 and you'll find there similar prescription to Jeremiah, similar to David here, similar to what we've got ourselves. My times are in thine hands. The Lord, when we know that He's on our side, when we know that we're on His, when our times, every little detail, big or small, are under His gaze and under His wisdom, then we have a rock on which to stand in the midst of the storms of life. And what a cure this gives us to the anxieties of life. In Philippians chapter 4, Paul says, cast all your cares upon the Lord, for He cares for you. A great prescription for the stress and the pressures of society today. We have the Old Testament equivalent here. My times are in thine hands. We can commit our lives to Him knowing that He cares for us. If that's the case and if we apply that to ourselves, why then should we live as if we still carry these anxieties with us? We can unburden them. We can speak to our God and we can tell our God what we're feeling, what we're thinking, what we're going through, what we're experiencing. We can tell our God what we've got to face tomorrow. We can go alone with Him in the secret place of prayer. We can tell Him and pour out our soul to Him. And we can do so always with this at the back of our mind, if not at the front of our mind. My times are in thine hand. We can wrap our problems round in prayer and leave them at the throne of grace. And we can come out of the presence of the Lord and we can walk serenely before the face of man simply because of the truth that David gives us here. Stress, pressure, it's there round about us in society. It's there in the life of God's people. It's with us today. We're not given exemption from it, but we're given resources to overcome it. The only way that we can is by trusting and relying upon God. God is faithful to His people and what we've committed to His care. I know whom I have believed and I am persuaded, says Paul. At the end of his life, been through, oh yes, been through countless tight situations, back against the wall, tight corners, so many times. And then at the end of his life, Paul says, I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that He's able to keep that which I committed to Him against that day. And there were many times when that commitment was underneath severe test and pressure. But never once was Paul ashamed. That's what David tells us. That's the testimony of God's people. To trust in the Lord is not the counsel of foolishness, but is the path of wisdom. And therefore the question comes down to ourselves here, right now, this morning. Yes, we can see a reflection of perhaps things in our own lives. We can know perhaps even what David is going through. We can immediately mention the word. We can see, yes, I've got stress. I've got pressure. How do we cope with it? The challenge is, do we have the same foundation, relationship and commitment as David had? Quite simply, it comes down to this simple, personal, testing question. Can we say, Thou art my God? Can we say that we've committed all of our interests to His hands? Gathering together as David would have done, as Paul did, gathering together every single scrap and detail of life, gathering together every single circumstance, big or small, every crossroads experience, every sad event, every glad moment, taking the whole of our life together and committing it to the Lord. But more than that, taking our soul that is in need of a Savior and needs forgiveness, taking our soul and committing our spiritual interest for all eternity, which is much, much more important than our life itself, but take our interests for all eternity and committing them to the Lord and committing our soul to the one who alone can save, Jesus Christ. Do we know Jesus Christ then as our Savior and our Lord? Because it's only in knowing Him in that capacity that we can go and stand in the same sandals as David, as Saul, as Paul. It's only by knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior that we will have the same peace in the midst of storms as the Christians of the Scripture tell us. The question, yes, these things are good, they're encouragement, they're strength, they're great for us to hear today. But these things that we've considered this morning, they're only available to a certain type of person. They're only available to those who have indeed committed their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, as we close, this question echoes above everything else for us. In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Into Thine hand do I commit my spirit. And the question immediately comes back and asks us, do we? Have we? Let us pray. Our gracious Lord and God, we bless Thy name for the way in which Thy Word speaks to us in a living way today. For the way in which Thy Word comes and meets us and confronts us where we are as we are. And we ask of Thee, O Lord, that Thy Word might be taken by us out into life from the quietness of Thy house and the blessedness of Thy day. And in the rough and tumble of life, may we constantly revisit it, that we might know blessing from Thyself upon our soul. Speak to every one of us, Lord, here this morning, a word to do us good, but above all else, a word that brings glory to Thy name. Help us, deal with us in Thy grace, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to close our service this morning by singing from Psalm 37 and some verses from verse 3 onward to 7. Psalm 37, verse 3 through to 7. Set thou thy trust upon the Lord, and be thou doing good. And so thou in the land shalt dwell, and verily have food. Delight thyself in God, He'll give thine heart's desire to thee. Thy way to God commit, Him trust, it bring to pass shall He. And like unto the light He shall thy righteousness display, and He thy judgment shall bring forth like noontide of the day. Rest in the Lord and patiently wait for Him. Do not fret for him who prospering in his way, success in sin doth get.
Now may grace, mercy, and peace from God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, rest upon the vine with you all. Amen.